With President-elect Biden's nomination of highly experienced women to top national security positions, he's following through on a campaign pledge to pursue gender parity in an area of government in which women are historically underrepresented. As producer Allie Rogan reports, women in the national security field are already hard at work correcting those imbalances for generations to come. We also want to note that some parts of this story were filmed before the COVID-19 pandemic.
So what do we want to do?
For women in national security, it's hard enough to get a seat at the table. So the creators of the podcast Bombshell built their own.
Welcome to Bombshell.
I have questions particularly around normalizing the use of these sanctions and tariffs.
The three hosts, Aaron Simpson, Radha Iyengar, and Lauren DeYoung Schulman, are all national security professionals.
We have made a deal on how much to trade.
They've worked inside and outside the government, advising decision makers on matters of foreign policy and defense. It's a field, like so many in government, dominated by men. Following the 2016 presidential election, the co-hosts wanted to make sure women's voices could still be heard.
We were all out for drinks and we were talking. And as we moved into a new administration, part of the discussion was just like, how do we keep this kind of conversation where it's women, but talking vis-a-vis their expertise, not just on women in security or diversity initiatives.
You're actually a model UN alumni.
The show features strictly female guests, with one notable exception. Each January, they celebrate their new season by hosting an episode with only men. They call it their Maniversary.
So this is our annual episode where we bring the men of the foreign policy world on to explore such questions as, what is it like to be a man in national security?
How do you decide what to wear and be taken seriously?
What do you think about doing with your hair? And do you have any lipstick tips for our listeners?
Those sorts of stereotypes, questions women still often get, are why the podcast exists. Co-host Aaron Simpson previously served as an advisor to military officials in Afghanistan. She's now an executive at a defense technology company.
There's still kind of a talking dog aspect to women in national security, especially on the defense side, which is they can't quite believe, by they I mean men, that we can put on eyeliner, pick out high-heeled shoes, blow out our hair, and talk about the next set of con ops or new technologies that might be emerging that are relevant to American national security.
Co-host Radha Iyengar, an economist, says the podcast also shows what else gets left out when women are.
People are willing and do have conversations about how women should be included. But at the end of the day, if they can't find a woman to be included or it's too inconvenient, that's still okay. And so I think that's the bridge that needs to be crossed next, which is to say, hey, if we end up in a situation where we don't have any women, it means we're probably missing some critical expertise and we need to go back to the drawing board.
Recent studies show that women's expertise is missing at the top levels of government. According to a 2018 study by the New America Foundation, women make up less than 40% of the State Department's leadership and 26% at the Pentagon. The numbers during the same period of the Obama administration were similar.
It was challenging. I didn't see a lot of other women in the space.
That was Lauren Buda's experience when she became an analyst focusing on national security law at a Chicago-based research institute in 2002.
I was deprived of certain opportunities that I had cultivated by male colleagues who, again, didn't necessarily acknowledge the value of women in national security.
That's what inspired her to create Girl Security, a program that gets young women and girls interested in national security and foreign affairs.
This is an emerging crisis scenario.
Before the pandemic, Buda hosted in-person events like this one, where high school girls worked to solve a simulated diplomatic crisis.
What else did we say?
Oh, it would be an act of aggression against Genovia.
Most people still harbor those same perceptions about the role of women in security. In other words, women don't necessarily belong in national security. And so part of our work has been changing the narrative around that space to empower those girls who are interested in the field.
Girl Security has suspended all in-person events like this one for now. But Buda said COVID-19 provides real-time training.
We're living through a pandemic, which is a national security crisis, and it's having implications for every facet of our society. And this is precisely the situation that we're training girls to cope with and to excel at as decision makers in national security.
20-year-old Sruthi Kadakam hopes to be one of those decision makers. She was supposed to spend her summer doing research at a U.S. Naval laboratory. But just when it would have been most relevant, her internship was canceled.
I felt like this incredible opportunity that would have really helped me gain some clarity on what I wanted in terms of my career and moving forward, that I had just lost that.
She applied for and was accepted into a new girl security program for college-age women.
I think it's more than a consolation. It's an incredible opportunity that I'm really excited to get.
Now she's writing a report recommending ways to strengthen the government's biodefense strategy.
A lot of the directives and sort of goals laid out in that strategy, if they were followed and properly implemented, we wouldn't be here right now.
Where do you ultimately want to see your recommendations end up?
You know, best case scenario, hopefully being incorporated into the next biodefense strategy.
Kadakam also hears from guest speakers at the highest levels of government, like Sue Gordon.
Listen, this is such an extraordinary time.
Last year, Gordon stepped down as Principal Deputy Director of National Intelligence after learning President Donald Trump was passing her over for the top job.
If you ask me what my best 3 years, I would say the last 3 years. So hardship will come, but hardship doesn't have to define you. I'm going to give you my business card. One of my favorite things about having opportunities like this to be with you is for the rest of your time. You're going to have me on your team.
Like Sue Gordon, Kadakam says she's eager to pay it forward before her professional career has even begun.
So now, me, as a young woman entering the space, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now, I know that I want to be involved in programs like Girl Security, giving back to younger women.
With Kadakam already looking so far ahead, she and her peers are sure to have a lasting impact on the future of policy and the people who make it. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Allie Rogan.